Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 442086014555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and if you get on the television with me, make sure the volume on your TV is down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. Or you can SMS me on 4478008066, or even email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. 133 souls, Rohingya people, Burmese Muslims, appear to have been lost at sea as they fled the ethnic cleansing, the mass murder, rape, and total destruction of towns and villages, which is occurring under the nose of the so-called international community in Burma. They are being murdered for no other reason than that they are Muslims, and they're being ignored for no other reason either. The dictatorship in Burma, which was once the international bad boy, is now subject to all sorts of rolled out red carpets and a wooing from the international community which once excoriated it. They don't appear to be at all concerned about the persecution of the Muslims in Burma. More importantly, perhaps, the OIC, which had taken permission from the Burmese dictator to open an office in Rangoon with which they could try to come to some kind of coordinated response, have been ignored and refused by the same dictator, and they haven't done that about it. The president of Burma, as he styles himself, he now wears a suit rather than a military uniform, has acknowledged to the United Nations this widespread mass murder, but he has promised to do absolutely nothing about it. So, what are we going to do? Another 133 souls dead today, tens of thousands of people fleeing from their homes as their houses are razed to the ground by fire and by destruction. Rape is now widespread in the country. Nobody is lifting a finger to help them. They have nowhere to go. Bangladesh, already the poorest country in the world, cannot, will not take them. We have some questions, of course, about that response to fleeing refugees. But why blame Bangladesh? It's Burma that's persecuting the Muslims, the Rohingya people. And in Bahrain, the murder continues, and the tragedy turned into farce this week. On Tuesday, when the puppet minister of the so-called King of Bahrain announced that all democratic life on the island for the entire country was now to be banned. No meetings, no rallies, no demonstrations. All in the interests of freedom and democracy, of course, or national unity, as he laughingly described it. The King of Bahrain was elected by no one. The Prime Minister of Bahrain, who came to power in 1963 and is still in power in 2012, was chosen by no one. He's the uncle of the King. That's the only basis that he has for being the Prime Minister. The people in Bahrain are not allowed to choose their government, have no right to choose the people who rule them, and they have risen up against it. Now, in other countries, that would attract Sky News and CNN and the Bush and Blair Corporation of the BBC. They'd be there in droves. They'd have their bulletproof vests on and their tin hats, and they'd be telling us breathlessly about the democracy protesters and the tyranny that was repressing them. But none of that has happened in Bahrain. Even more serious, the US Fifth Fleet is docked in Bahrain and is watching all of this happening. Even worse than that, the British and American governments are giving the Bahraini dictatorship all the wherewithal that they need to crush the democracy protesters on the island. And if that was not enough, the puppet regime they call Saudi Arabia has sent its armed forces in to occupy Bahrain because, hey, freedom might be catching. And if it caught on in Bahrain, who knows where it would stop? You think it would be stopped by the causeway that links the two countries? I don't think so either. Now, Nasratullah Tajik may be the latest Muslim to be extradited to face God knows how many decades in the US prison system. Nasratullah Tajik is a former Iranian ambassador to Jordan. 6 years ago, he came to Britain, believing that Britain was a civilized country in which he could practice as a university professor. For the last 6 years, he's been under house arrest, wearing an electronic tag. And now, under the grotesque extradition treaty negotiated in secret by David Blunkett from Tony Blair's government, he is to be extradited to the United States to face trumped-up charges of buying what? Chemical weapons? Nuclear components? Heavy weapons? No, none of that. He's charged with buying goggles. Yes, goggles. Binoculars. Serious, huh? Well, it is serious when you're being extradited to the United States and you're a former Iranian diplomat and they want you because they intend to put you in prison for a very long time for the discouragement of the others. That we can understand in the United States. But why does Britain have to play this dastardly role of extraditing Muslim after Muslim after Muslim to the tender mercies of the United States? We have many British people already on the planes and in the jails. Is Mr. Tajik to be another? Let's go to Norway for the first call, and it's from Barry. Barry, what would you like to talk about, my friend?
Hello, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, go ahead, sir.
Good to have you always. I'm Mr. Galloway. You know, this is pathetic. This is pathetic. I think Britain and America should really shut their mouth and then stop, in fact, dictating other countries about democracy and justice or human rights while the whole world is watching what is going on in Bahrain. Mr. Galloway, this is sad. How could Britain, a so-called democratic or a so-called human rights, creators, sending or selling bullets and gas. America also sending bullets and gas to Saudi to, you know, the, so that Muslims can be butchered in Bahrain. This is unspeakable. Could you believe this? While the world is watching, UN is doing nothing.
It's a very, very powerful call, Barry, and I have no answer to give you beyond the one I seem to do every week. It's not democracy that's practiced by Britain and the United States. It's organized hypocrisy. And the double standard is so brazen that one almost doesn't know whether to laugh or cry at it. They don't want freedom in Bahrain because freedom will cross the causeway and cause freedom to occur for the people of Arabia. That would mean that the corrupt dictatorship of Arabia that calls itself the Saudi Arabian dictatorship, that dictatorship would fall and all the contracts and all the corruption would go with it. That's the long and the short of it. I'm afraid there's no better answer that I can give you. Now, you say it's sad, Barry, and indeed it is sad. It also makes you angry. But I must say I experienced a third feeling when I watched the footage on Press TV, you won't see it anywhere else, of the people defying this ban. On Tuesday, the minister banned all political activity for the entire country and for the duration until national unity, don't you know, was restored. Well, the national unity was displayed immediately thereafter, and it will be again tomorrow after the Juma prayers. The brave people, men and women of Bahrain, are answering with their feet on the streets of Bahrain, telling this minister where to stick his ordinance, where to stick his orders, because they have come this far for freedom and they're not going to give up now. Barry, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Glenn in England, in Portsmouth, on the same subject. Glenn, welcome back.
Hello, George. Nice to speak to you
again. And you, sir.
I'd like to speak on Bahrain, if I may.
Yes.
And I'd like to express my disgust at American hypocrisy, at their two-faced stance on Bahrain and Syria, how they've been so vocal in condemning the alleged atrocities of President Assad. I don't believe he's committed any atrocities, but they're just pushing their own interests through the so-called rebels there.
Well, Glenn, you know, but not everybody watching this knows, that the police in Bahrain that are doing the killing, the gassing, the shooting, are being led by an English police officer, Yates of the Yard, a former commander of Scotland Yard, who left this country under a bit of a cloud and is now causing a cloud of poison gas to be fired at democracy protesters in Bahrain. I hope he's enjoying his money. That's all I can say, because on the judgment day, he'll have to answer for all of it. Glenn, great call. Let's talk to Abdullah in South Africa about Burma, where the massacres continue. Abdullah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Gallo. How are you?
Very well, by the grace of God. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I would like to talk about the Myanmar, Muslim Myanmar people.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly, my intention was to talk about the election in the United States.
Yes.
What I hear in the media, especially in Press TV, on how people are backing off to vote this election or this year, and it seems like it shows clearly that people now have come to realize how double standards or how how their own leaders are.
Yes.
Are treating their own people in their country.
Yes.
They are no longer trusting their leaders on how they govern their country. For example, as we are seeing in America, it shows clearly the future of America, how it's heading it is. And definitely it is determining the future of people themselves in America, that now they have a right to choose who to vote or not to vote.
And yes, I mean, it may be Tweedledee and Tweedledum, or Tweedledummer, but at least they get the right to choose. Why should they get a right to choose the people who lead them? Well, the Bahraini people are denied that right. That's the point, isn't it, Abdullah?
Yeah, it is a point, but it's like also protesting, because if people are now backing off, It's like protesting to their leaders, because it seems like in the United States there's no democracy. It's only a two-party system. Why have they arrested a third-party leader if there's democracy in America?
Uh-huh.
Because she is protesting for a thing that is not right to her own people as a party leader to stand as an example to her own supporters. So why did America arrest her if there's a democracy?
Well, look, a two-party system is definitely better than a one-party system. But when you need $1 billion each in order to contest the presidential election, it doesn't seem likely that the two-party system is going to become three or more parties anytime soon. But at least democratic freedoms exist in the United States and in this country, and indeed in yours, after a long battle against tyranny in South Africa. So why shouldn't they exist in Bahrain? And why wouldn't we support people who are only asking for the freedoms that we have in Bahrain? Now, on the subject of Burma, which is also on the agenda this evening, here we have hundreds of thousands of people being persecuted. Tens of thousands have been driven from their homes. Whole towns and villages have been razed to the ground. Rape is widespread. Murder and mutilation everywhere. People fleeing for their lives on boats that can't stand the weight, turning over and drowning them at sea, and it can't even get on the news, at least on the channels that don't speak for the voiceless. On Press TV, the voice of the voiceless, of course, you can follow these travails. Abdullah, thanks. Not a great line, but a very good call. Let's go to the comment wall and take our first email of the evening. We want your point of view up here, your country up here. This one is from London. Ian, why do you think that Cameron hasn't said anything about the Rohingyas or even William Hague? There are no interests in that country, are there? Do you think it's because we in the UK don't know much about them, as in the government reflects our concerns? Well, interests is the problem, Ian. There are very rich interests in Burma. And the British business wants to get its hands on those interests. They were precluded from doing so for a very long time by the fact that Burma was demonstrably a brute dictatorship, which, amongst other things, was keeping the democracy leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, locked up in her house for 2 decades or more. So we couldn't get our hands on the riches of Burma. Now that they freed Aung San Suu Kyi, it turns out that her democracy movement was concerned only about democracy and liberty for some. She doesn't give a damn about the Rohingya people, hasn't said a word about their plight, because the chauvinism and sectarianism and Islamophobic hatred, which appears to be widespread and burning in Burma, is not something she's prepared to confront. So all of us who were left cheering when she was released from her house arrest, and those who gave her laureates of all kinds and honorary doctorates of all kinds, must be now feeling pretty foolish. That is, if they care about the plight of the Muslims in Burma. But of course, the big question is, what are the Muslims doing about the plight of the Muslims in Burma? What are the Islamic governments doing about the plight of the Muslims in Burma? What is the OIC doing? Answers on a postcard, please. Let's go all the way to Iraq. Talk to Muhammad about Burma. Muhammad, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to speak with you again, sir.
Well, where are you in Iraq? Which town, which city are you in?
Sorry, sir.
Which part of Iraq are you calling from?
I am calling from Baghdad.
Magnificent. Great to hear from you.
From the capital, yes.
Give my regards to Baghdad. Now, tell us what you'd like to say.
Sorry?
Yes, tell us what you'd like to say, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. The persecution of minority Muslims in Burma, I'd like to focus about media, Mr. George.
Yes.
The media making some focus in the problems and the crisis in Middle East.
Yeah.
But the another problems, the screams or victims, especially in countries have minority people, such as Muslims or Christian, no problem for the religion. But the minority people, they are always get persecution, and the media absolutely focus just for doing some policies.
Yeah.
You're
making it very clear, Muhammad. These so-called mainstream media outlets do what their regimes, and the British and the Americans have regimes too, you know, want them to do. And they face in the direction and prioritize questions according to what their regimes want them to do. The BBC, the British state broadcaster, formerly known as the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, now better known as the Bush and Blair Corporation, just picks up the signals from the state and the establishment in the state, the elite in the state, and pours its venom on whichever target it is today. It was Iraq before, now it's Iran. It could be any other country tomorrow, and they don't need to have a meeting about it. They don't need the Freemasons to tell them to do it, or the Knights of the Malta, or the Illuminati. They don't need any conferences to decide to do that. It's in their DNA to face in the direction that the state wants them to face. And then they call other people state broadcasters. And you really couldn't make it up. Muhammad in Iraq, thanks a lot for that call. Let's go to Wales. Talk to Ramazan about Bahrain. Ramzan, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Good evening to you, George.
How and are to you? You, sir. Go ahead.
Good, good. Well, basically, it's terrible double standard, isn't it? What the king of Bahrain is saying, that no demonstration, and yet they are giving ammunition and money and everything.
Yeah, to shoot the demonstrators with. Yeah.
It's disgusting. I mean, look at Saudi Arabia. Women can't even drive in their country, and they're talking about bringing a democracy in Syria. Come on, boys, look after their own house first, and then talk about somebody else's, you know? And I mean, it's our own country, Britain and America, are helping these tyrant countries like Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar. Look at him. Basically removed his father. Now, how can you trust that guy in Qatar?
Who elected these people? Who elected these people, Ramzan? Nobody elected these people.
Nobody elected them. This is what I mean.
They were put in power by the colonial powers, in the case of Bahrain, exactly. By the British. They don't even come from Bahrain. They were foreigners put on the throne of Bahrain by the British. And the deal was that the rulers that they installed would look after Britain's interests and follow Britain's foreign policy and allow Britain a foothold in the Persian Gulf. That's what it was all about, Ramzan.
And yet our Prime Minister today, right, there was a gathering of UN diplomats about the world poverty. Come on, David Cameron. You know, you talk about the world. Let's look at our own poverty in our own country.
Well, what about, as we're talking about the UN, what about Ban Ki-moon? What is Ban Ki-moon going to do for the mass slaughter that's going on in Burma? He's forever talking about other countries. What about something to be done for the people of Burma?
Listen, but Georgie, it's only a puppet. Ban Ki-moon is only a puppet for the West, for America and Europe.
Ramzan, even by the standards of UN Secretary Generals, this Ban Ki-moon really is a cipher. He's a shadow, a cardboard cutout. God knows how he managed to reach that position. Ramzan, thanks for the call. I've got to go to Nigeria now. Talk to Sajil about Burma. Sajil, welcome to the show. Sajil, are you there? Unfortunately, Sajil in Nigeria is not there, but he wanted to talk about Burma, and so do I. My blood is boiling. 133 souls lost at sea, in addition to the thousands that have been already killed and the hundreds of thousands who fear death at any minute. Now, I've got another call in Nigeria on that subject. Usman, let's hope he's on the line. Usman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you, sir?
Very well, by the grace of God. Go ahead, sir.
No, I want to talk about this issue of Myanmar. They have been killing Myanmar. These Muslims have been killed for nothing. And UN is directing them to just stop them by not taking much action. They're supposed to take direct action, not by giving them direction. These people, they are human beings. They are human beings. They should be treated like all inhabitants of this of the world. It's not because they are Muslim they will be treated.
Well, that is the truth is, Usman, they're being killed for no other reason than that they are Muslims, hated by the majority in the country and by the dictatorship that rules there, and they're being ignored for no other reason than that they are Muslims. Can you imagine if slaughter and suffering on this scale was being suffered by others, the media giving it an almost total blank? It's impossible to conceive. And if it was Muslims killing a minority on this scale, you can be sure that the Muslim leader of that country would be in the rogues gallery, being persecuted and prosecuted in international criminal courts, extradition demands. There'd probably be a no-fly zone imposed on his country. The world would move if Thein Sein, the dictator of Burma, was a Muslim leader. The world would move, but it's not moving in Burma. There's no sanctions on Burma. There's no attempt to intervene to defend these people on human rights grounds in Burma. The world is sitting back, ignoring the plight of the people of Burma. It's an absolute scandal and a disgrace, and it gives the absolute lie to the argument of Western governments that they care about liberty, freedom, the protection of the person, the right to protect, the Chicago Doctrine, and all this other Blairite guff that we've been treated to over the last decade or more. Look, God willing, I'll be back after the news with the second half of Comment. We're talking Burma, Bahrain, and the Iranian diplomat facing extradition to the United States. Don't go away. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Now, what can you make of a story which involves a university professor in Britain held for 6 years under house arrest and then being ordered to be extradited to the United States for allegedly trying to buy, in a CIA sting operation, binoculars? Even if he was, and he denies it, trying to buy binoculars, how can that possibly be a crime? Isn't Iran allowed to buy binoculars? Is there something special about Iranians that they're not allowed to defend their own country? Or even buy binoculars to see the attackers coming? This is a kind of madness. And yet that's exactly what's happened to the former Iranian ambassador to Jordan, Nasrullah Tajik, who came to this country believing he was coming to a civilized country to work as a university professor and ended up under house arrest with an electronic tag and fighting for his life in the High Court now to avoid being sent to the dungeons of the United States of America. It is an absolute scandal. And even worse, it's one that is being completely ignored in the rest of the British media, as is the mass murder of Muslims in Burma, 133 more of whom went to a watery grave this day when the ship that they were fleeing upon turned over and sank. And in Bahrain, on Tuesday, the government, the regime, the dictatorship, the tyranny, the kleptocratic, corpulent gang of thieves who call themselves the government of Bahrain, who were elected by nobody, banned all, I mean all political activity in the entire country. No one in Bahrain may now attend a political meeting, rally, demonstration. No one may publicly express their wish for democracy in their country. Well, look, that happens in many places. The difference is, in some of the places, Sky News, Al Jazeera, the BBC, are on the first plane to tell us all about it. But with Bahrainis, well, they can go hang. They can be tortured. They can be gassed. They can be shot. They can be beaten by a Saudi invading occupation force armed by the United Kingdom and the United States and Germany. They can be shot down by a police force run by a former Scotland Yard commander. And nobody gives that about it. That's what I'm talking about tonight. If you want to talk to me about it, then you need to call me. Mohadesa has just done so from London. Mohadesa, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Welcome. Good to hear from you. Go ahead, sister.
I just wanted to elaborate on your point about the systematic oppression of dissent and demonstrators in the Gulf region. I mean, just Kuwait also recently banned gatherings of more than, I think, 10 people.
That's right.
In a group because the country itself had seen demonstrations in in the thousands. I mean, more people turned out in...
Well, the Kuwaiti people are rising up against their dictatorship.
Yes, certainly. And what we see is a systematic, institutionalized oppression, which I think is the backbone of these regimes. I mean, without this without this oppression, how do they survive? They thrive off it. And these people aren't willing to take it anymore. And that's why we see these uprisings. And that's why the West will refuse to show them, because they are going against what the West wants, which is a corrupt Gulf Peninsula.
Yeah. Client, puppets, that's what they want.
Shields, yeah.
They want puppets, Mohadessa, they want puppets who will spend the Kuwaiti people's money or the Bahraini people's money on weapons from our arms exporters, and who will put their ill-gotten gains into the London property market or the casinos or the bordellos of Western capitals. That's what they want. That's the kind of rulers they want the people in the Persian Gulf to have.
Yep, people who spend more money on lavish lifestyles than on starving, on their starving people. And it's a shame that we have to watch these people, and most of us are quite powerless against it. But that's why it's so important for these demonstrations to continue and to carry on, regardless of how they're being crushed.
Well, that's right. And the Bahraini people were out already, and they'll be out in very large numbers tomorrow, I predict.
Yep, so let's show our moral support and hope these Gulf states will soon collapse on themselves, one by one.
God willing. Mohadessa, thank you. That was an outstanding call from Mohadessa in London, summarising the plight of the ordinary people, not just in Bahrain, but in other dictatorships in the Persian Gulf region. The hypocrisy of the Western media is another of the angles that we are looking at on that. When did you last see a report of the crushing of the freedom movement in Bahrain on any mainstream broadcaster? When did you last read about it in any mainstream tabloid? Probably never in the tabloids, and very scarcely and rarely in the so-called broadsheet media. Mohadessa, we'll keep up our campaign to give voice to the voiceless. And I ask God to bless you for the sensitivity and the integrity that you've shown in this call this evening. Thank you for that. Let's go back to the comment wall, because we like to get a mix of emails and calls. See what we've got up on the comment board. We want your point of view and your country up there. Another one from London. Bilal, Salam, George, do you believe the extradition treaty is problematic, legally speaking, because they can't see the evidence against them until they get to the US? Absolutely, Bilal. More than problematic. It is grotesque. And it was negotiated behind the backs of the British Parliament. How's that for democracy? I, as a 25-year member of the British Parliament, had no say on the extradition treaty that David Blunkett, on behalf of Tony Blair, concluded with the government of George W. Bush. Not only did I have no say about it, I didn't even know about it. Parliament wasn't even told about it. What kind of democracy is that? Let's go to Holland, the Netherlands, talk to Haji about Burma and Palestine. Haji, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much. How are you, George?
By the grace of God, I'm good. And you?
Okay, that's good.
Thank Excellent. Go much. Ahead.
Okay, I would like to say that all the problems on the Muslims in Burma, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Kashmir, the central issue is Palestine. For example, now you see that it's 5 years or so that Gazans are incarcerated, inhumane,
and by the way, Haji, that was to punish them for voting in a democratic election for a party that the Western countries didn't like.
That is so. But now my question is, now that this Alhamdulillah here is Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood in his power in Egypt, and yesterday they were respectively let the two Zionist warships to pass through the Suez Canal with very guarded and disrespect and coming to go through.
It's a very strange kind of Muslim Brotherhood that we're beginning to see in the world, isn't it?
Yes. What kind of Muslim Brotherhood is, what kind of Muslims we are, I'd like to ask, what should we do about this? We are just outside.
Well, not much we can do about it. The Egyptian people elected the Muslim Brotherhood candidate as president, and the people who elected him must be asking themselves that this is what kind of peculiar Muslim Brotherhood is this? We used to denounce the dictator Mubarak for allowing the Zionist warships to pass through the Suez Canal. And now the Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt is doing the same thing. So what changed? And where are the voices that used to denounce Mubarak? What do they have to say about President Morsi's decision to betray the Palestinian people in this way? What do they have to say about the problems that continue to exist on the border with Gaza? They had plenty to say. They said much of it with me. They traveled on convoys with me. They confronted the dictatorship of Egypt with me. I'm still confronting. I'm still talking. What are they doing? When are they going to speak? Perhaps they're busy speaking about somewhere, something else. Haji in Holland, first time caller. Don't be a stranger. Come back again. We're talking about Burma. I'm always happy to talk about Palestine. We're talking about Bahrain. We're talking about the strange case of the Iranian diplomat. I just want to reiterate this point. He says he didn't try to buy binoculars, that it was a CIA sting operation. I'll take him at his word. But I'm asking the question, why shouldn't Iran be allowed to buy binoculars? What, you want to invade a country? And you want to make sure that they can't even see you coming because you sanctioned their binoculars? What kind of world is this? We've got his lawyer on the line, Karen Todner, lawyer to former Ambassador Nasratullah Tajik. Karen, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
It is a grotesque story, if you ask me. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, Mr. Tajik's been facing extradition to America for the last about 7 years now, and he's been waiting for a hearing which took place earlier this week to see if his extradition order would be overturned. The hearing went very well, and I'm hopeful that we might succeed.
And where was this alleged crime of buying binoculars supposed to have taken place?
From Iran through to America, but a lot of the American extradition requests are actually really what are internet offences. And because these offences breach the American embargo and they take place over the internet, that's how these extradition applications arise.
And so he came to England in good faith as a university professor. And he ended up under house arrest for 6 years with an electronic tag. And now they want to send him to a dungeon in the United States.
He's had terrible bail conditions. He's been on electronic tag. He's been under curfew. He's been effectively been in house detention now for a number of years. And it's had a terrible effect on both him and his family.
What about his health? Tell us about his health, Karen.
His health, well, without obviously going into details, because it's obviously private to him, but his health is very, very poor. I mean, the whole extradition procedure has had a horrendous effect on him, both physically and mentally.
And when will we get a result from this hearing at the High Court?
Well, the hearing took place on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the judges have reserved judgment. I would think we'll get judgment within a month. I think certainly before Christmas.
Well, I pray that it goes well, Karen. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on the show to talk about the plight of the former Iranian ambassador, Nasratullah Tajik. It's one of the subjects that we're talking about tonight, as is Bahrain, where they've banned all democratic freedoms for the duration. What's the duration? Until national unity is restored. National unity, which is being pursued by the systematic torture of democracy leaders in the dungeons. National unity, which is being pursued by the firing of poison gas, which regularly kills democracy protesters, by the shooting dead of democracy protesters, by their torture in the dungeons. All of it is being ignored. by the Western media. So we want to highlight this hypocrisy as well as show our solidarity with those who have already defied this ban on all liberty in the country of Bahrain. And in my case, to wish them well tomorrow after the Jummah, when I predict in their tens of thousands they will defy the dictatorship of Bahrain. May God protect them. And we're talking about Burma, where the Rohingya people continue to face widespread massacre and persecution. Again, to the absolute indifference of most of the Western media and the absolute indifference to the so-called United Nations and the so-called international community. Let's go back to the comment wall, take another email. Let's see where this one's from. Quit, Niaz Abbas, you're doing a great job, which all Muslim media have ignored. Conveniently, they are cowards. Sheikh Hasina promised to rebuild every piece of damaged Buddhist temples in Bangladesh and promised to reimburse every penny lost by Buddhist victims in the recent uprising, which is nothing but a mosquito bite compared to what's going on in her neighbour's land. She told Hard Talk in the BBC that Rohingyans' problem is internal and Burmese. Junta has promised to take care and she has nothing to do with them. She sent back the pleading refugees back into the sea in their leaky boats, most of whom drowned later, of course, with a small parcel of rice and a small bottle of mineral water. Niaz, I hang my head at the recognition of the truth of what you say. The so-called democratic and so-called progressive government of a major Muslim country, Bangladesh, sending Muslim refugees back to sea to drown, to be eaten by sharks, rather than accept them onto the soil that she was elected to protect. It is a shame, and I believe one for which no satisfactory explanation can ever be adduced on the judgment day. And the judgment day is coming for her soon in Bangladesh itself, where the people continue to have some democratic freedoms, and I predict they will use those freedoms to sweep away the corrupt, kidnapping government that she leads. But the number one villain in this case is the dictatorship of Burma, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to be diverted, notwithstanding what I've just said, into making this an issue about Bangladesh, because it's Burma that has the responsibility to protect a million of its own people. Now, Burma says they're not its own people, even though they've been there for centuries. Bangladesh won't take them. No other country will take them. They have nowhere to go. They have no means of flight except boats that sink no sooner than they've set off, in this case, for Malaysia. They never reached Malaysia. In fact, they hardly got off the coast at all, and they've all died. Can you imagine the terror of the men, women, and children on that boat? Can you imagine what it felt like as their boat slipped beneath the seas and they went to their death thinking they were fleeing from persecution? It really is a sin and a crime of the highest order, and nobody's doing anything about it, which is even more sinful. Elijo is in Nigeria, wants to talk about Bahrain. Elijo, welcome to the show. Elijo?
Hello, welcome.
Welcome, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir?
Yes, you're on the air.
I got to talk to you all for being. Thanks for all being.
I'm sorry, Elijo. You've got your television on, and number two, the line is just too bad. I don't know if the viewers can hear you, but I certainly can't. We'll try and get back to you. Mustafa's in France, wants to talk about Bahrain. Let's hope it's a clearer line. Mustafa, welcome.
Welcome. Hello, how are you?
Very well, by the grace of God. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to speak about the role Saudi Arabia is playing when it comes to solving problems in the Muslim countries.
Yes.
First of all, I saw Saudi Arabia sending in weapons and ammunition to create some problems in Bahrain.
And soldiers. And soldiers and tanks.
Yeah, I think Saudi Arabia is considered to be the holy land of the Muslim community, where people go and then and attend the Hajj. There where we found the Kaaba. There were in Saudi Arabia. There where you found the mosque according to the Islamic history. There where the Prophet mosque is located. There where Prophet was born. Saudi Arabia is known to be the holy land of the Muslim community. And now when it comes to solving problems in the Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia is trying to back one group against another group. I think that is contrary to Islamic teachings. Saudi Arabia needs to be playing the role in where she will bring peace among Muslim community. According to the Quranic verse, إِنَّمَا لِمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَاتٍ. The Muslims are brothers of other Muslims. No matter what the consequence is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the condition is, I think Saudi Arabia not need to back one group against another Muslim group. I think they need to play a key role in bringing peace among the Muslims wherever it happens in the country. And I just heard in one other news that Saudi Arabia sent arms. Of course, Syria is not a topic tonight, but Saudi Arabia is backing the rebel against the Assad government in Syria. All these are contradictory to the Islamic teachings. And if we see this happening, we find out the Muslim community, the Muslim countries are not together, are not united. So I don't know how
Mustafa, if I start on the contradiction of Muslim teaching by the Al Saud dictatorship, which gave its name to the country, forced the people of Arabia to adopt the name of their own family, there just wouldn't be enough time. The casinos in London are full of them. The bordellos in London and Paris and America and everywhere else in Marbella and elsewhere are full of them. I mean, take a walk up the streets of Marbella and see the elite of so-called Saudi Arabia and then tell me that they have anything to do with Islamic teaching. They are absolute hypocrites. I don't even have enough time to even begin to scratch the surface of the hypocrisy of these people. Custodians of the two mosques, don't make me laugh. Let's go back to Nigeria, talk to Inouye about Bahrain. Inouye, welcome to the show. Yes,
hello?
You're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Please, I want to make a contribution on this Judge Golaway on each of Bahrain.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that leadership we're having these days appears to be very cruel, and the people are no more safe under the leadership, the so-called leader that has found himself on the position.
Well, look, I don't know how many times I've got to tell you. Anyways, I'll have to cut you off. If you're going to speak to me on the television, the volume on your TV has to be at zero, or no one will understand either of us. And that's exactly what happened. Now, look, these have been my views tonight. I want to make it clear they're not the views of Press TV, and they're not the views of any government. Nobody bought these views. I cannot be bought. I tell you what I think. I might be right, I might be wrong, but I think that a lot of you agree with me. And the audience of this show is truly amazing. And I want every one of you to get me one more viewer in the next week. And God willing, I'll be back with comment next week at the same time. Until then, go in peace.
Hello, if you just comment your name and location with that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set up to zero.
Zero, zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through this.